Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sisters and brothers, it probably won't surprise you when I say that I like to think about words, about figures of speech, about metaphor, stuff like that. I don't know many languages, of course, only one really. But I suspect every language has these things. It's interesting, sometimes when you take a figure of speech or an image from one language and translate it directly into another, it doesn't work very well. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. With apologies to those of you that actually speak German, I'm told that in German you literally say, "I have a nose full of you." And that means, I'm fed up with you, right? Now, by the way, since you have masks on, at that point you were supposed to laugh loud enough for me to hear. Thank you, I appreciate that very much. Rhetorically, it's very weird to preach with people who are wearing masks. There is a way that we speak sometimes, and often metaphorically or with figures of speech, when we think that I or you or someone has gotten things reversed. You've gotten them just kind of backwards. If you're from the South, you can do it in one elegant word. You can say, "You've got it all cattywampus." A few Southerners nodding here. A little more elegantly, you might say, "You're getting ahead of yourself," which is kind of an odd thing to say when you think about it, but it works. But to make it even clearer, you can give a slightly larger picture, and you can say, "You're putting the cart before the horse." And if you think about that, that's pretty clear. Now, as I pondered the reading from Mark chapter 1, it was for me a reminder not to put the cart before the horse in Lent or any time. Now, what do I mean by that, and why did the reading remind me of that? First, let me just mention that, as you could probably guess by thinking about it, Matthew and Luke recount the same events that Mark 1, 9-15 does. But just as a rough comparison, they take at least three times longer to do that. The accounts in Matthew and Mark are much, much longer, or Matthew and Luke, than in Mark. Jesus' baptism, Jesus' temptation, John's arrest, and the beginning of Jesus' preaching in Mark are 14 lines in the Greek New Testament. And so Mark has squeezed things down considerably. It's very brief, it's very tight, and now we're getting to the point. He's left no place in the reading for you or for me. There's no place for me here. There's no room. Because you're not John the Baptist, and I'm certainly not Jesus. None of us is the Father or the Holy Spirit, and thankfully none of us is Satan. There are no crowds. There are no disciples. There's only Jesus. Now, let me just mention briefly now, and I'll say it again at the end of the homily, what you do as a Christian is important. And your Christian living is a lot of hard work. And yes, Lent can be a time to think about these things. But this morning, I want to invite you not to get ahead of yourself. Or, to put it the other way, not to put the cart before the horse, either in Lent or in any other season of any other year, as long as there are years. In other words, Jesus is saying to you in this text, repent. Repent from thinking that what you do and what you don't do comes first, in any important sense of the word first. Repent. And don't think you have to put yourself or push yourself into a place where you don't actually have a place. Some things are about me and some things are about you, but some things are not about you and they're not about me, and this reading isn't. There is a time and a place for you and me, and again, I'll mention it at the end, because Mark mentions it at the end, after the end of this reading, and he mentions it at the end of his gospel. But you're the cart. All of your hard work as a Christian, as important as it is the cart. In these verses, Jesus is the horse. He's the power. Mark gives us Jesus and what he has come to do. Now, yes, John is there and he baptizes Jesus, but this really says something about Jesus, not so much anything about John. Jesus was baptized, which is a little odd because John was baptizing people who were confessing their sins. Anyway, Jesus is baptized, and look what happens next. Look what it's time for. The heavens were not opening, as the ESV says. They were being torn open. Torn open. The heavens are being torn open. And the Holy Spirit is coming down in a way that he had never come down before. And the Father speaks and he endorses Jesus. And he's very happy at what Jesus is about to do. And then Jesus does it. He goes, is driven out into the wilderness, and he meets the enemy. He meets the enemy who lurks behind every evil deed and every selfish word and every deadly piece of gossip. Jesus is driven into the desert, and he goes into battle with the Satan, with the opponent, the adversary, who actually loves it when you put the cart before the horse. Satan loves to say, "Oh, what a nice cart you have there. You know, you're not quite making enough progress. You need to go faster." No. Faster. No. Faster. The adversary loves it when he can get us to put the cart before the horse. He loves to say, "You know, that's a that's a pretty pathetic cart you have there. Lots of people have nicer ones. Why is yours so slow? Why is yours so weak?" In the wilderness, Jesus meets that enemy, that opponent, for 40 days. And he survives, and he stands. In fact, it seems as though Mark is telling us that Jesus changes the wilderness into a place where you don't have to be afraid, where the danger is gone. It's as if Jesus is putting together the broken pieces of the world. He was with the wild beasts, but no harm. And angels were there, and they were serving him. And then Jesus begins to speak good news in Galilee. He says, "It's time. The king is coming. The king is here. God is here," Jesus says. "I am here." There's good news, and it's not about me or you, but it's for me, and it's for you. Jesus says, "It's about me." Mark is telling us, don't put the cart before the horse. Repent, Jesus says. Believe in me and in what I have started to do. So here at the beginning of his gospel, Mark squeezes things down, and there's room to look at no one but Jesus. The heavens are torn open at last. It's happening at last. And Jesus is there. And the Gospel of Mark actually sort of ends in a very similar way, just like it began. It happens after God and Jesus became king in Galilee and Judea. But there were so many people, everyone really, who did think it was about them. They wanted it to be about them. And so they wanted to put the cart before the horse. And so by the end of the gospel, they've all either abandoned Jesus or killed him. There, in a shockingly true sense, the Father, who ever remains pleased with his Son, abandons him for a time. And just like at the beginning, There's a tearing. The curtain of the temple is torn open, just like the heavens are torn in chapter 1. And it's from top to bottom. The tearing moves from top to bottom. It does not move from bottom to top. It does not start at top and bottom and meet in the middle. No, it's from top to bottom. No one did that but God. And then on a third day, there's a young man there at the empty tomb, but we know he's an angel, right? And Jesus promises on his lips to go and meet him in Galilee. The women didn't help with that. The disciples didn't help with any of that. No one did. He pulled the load because only he could. And the Father was so pleased. The Father is still so pleased with his Son. And now, when the Satan, the opponent, criticizes your cart, you can say, I actually already know that my cart isn't strong enough. I already know that. And it can't get me anywhere. That's the whole point of its being a cart. Or when the adversary praises you, your cart, and tries to get you to think how wonderful it is, you can say, What? You want me to be impressed with my cart? I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. It's just a cart. It's just my cart. I would rather repent and look at Jesus. Jesus has opened the way, and in him God came down, and he forgives, and he saves. And when Mark's gospel has its way with us like that, and we're so focused on Jesus alone, Jesus as the King of the kingdom, Jesus as the one who does the Father's will, Jesus as the strong man who snatches you back from the adversary and claims you for God, then you're ready to put the cart after the horse where it belongs. Jesus met them in Galilee after he was raised from the dead. Mark doesn't actually narrate that, but we know he did because he promised that he would. And here in Mark chapter 1, after verses 9 to 15, in Galilee, Jesus meets up with some fishermen and he says, come after me. Jesus first, then we follow. And for me and you this Lent and for the rest of your days, until the heavens are torn open again, that's your cart. That's your place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.